Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, The Phenomenon of the 80s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, Your Talk Alternative. Today we're going to talk about a very Scorpion topic, because the moon is going into Scorpio, and a topic that I personally am doing for myself because I need to understand it. Because this has been something that I have feared ever since I was a little boy. So I brought Silver Birch along with me today to help explain this issue. What is death? Okay, so we're going to take a look and read some of the channeled information from the other side from our Indian guide, Silver Birch, as quoted from the book Light from Silver Birch, which was actually a book that was published in London by the Psychic Press. And actually, this edition was published in 1984. We'll be reading from the chapter, which is chapter 5 on death, starting at page 30. So you don't want to miss today's show if you are not aware of death or Silver Birch philosophies. And of course, I'll be adding my own opinion. One thing about death is, like taxes, it's one thing you can be sure of. It reminds me of a quote from the movie Platoon. Everybody gotta die. So it's not something for us to fear. It is something for us to understand, embrace, and be prepared for one day, because it will happen. So don't be frightened by this topic, please. Okay, today we're going to talk about a topic that scares the hell out of me, folks, death. Ever since I was a little boy, I used to have this very strange feeling. It's funny how in our human form, under this illusion of separation, oftentimes because people make us feel smaller, because we ourselves are insecure, we feel like we have limitations. We feel mortal. We feel finite. We look at ourselves in the mirror and we try to ponder the eternal mysteries of God and immortality and all this stuff. And there always lies that one little question in my mind, you know, that one little speck of doubt that sometimes says to me, what if it's really all in my mind? And what if when you do die, it really is over and it is, the door is eternally shut on your consciousness and awareness? And when I was about 2 years old, when I first started to have any sense at all, I became aware of death because my grandpa died, and a lot of other people were dying in my family, and I was aware of the pain, the misery, the grief, and the suffering. My family didn't take it too well when some of the people passed. So as a little boy, I got pretty frightened of death very, very early. And I remember running into the room scared and screaming and saying to Mommy and Daddy that I was afraid to die. I didn't want to die. Sometimes I'd lay in bed and feel the eternal emptiness of nothingness, which I imagine followed after any death, and it scared me. And frankly, my mom and dad didn't really know what to tell me because they probably were pretty scared of the issue themselves. But anyway, in my path and in my studies of metaphysics and understanding things like reincarnation and like evolution of the soul, I do find that leaving the human body and severing the relationship between the body and the soul is something that is very, very important to understand death. First of all, and I want to make one thing very, very clear, the body is important. Even though the body does die, the body still does have identity. And that is truly the part of us that feels the most vulnerable, the most mortal, and the most finite. Let me make this clear. The body is a limited issue. It is a limited essence. It is something that is created for a temporary vehicle for the soul, which is eternal. It is the soul which is eternal. But isn't it funny that our body, acting as just a small part of the soul, actually is more in touch with what we are present with, more in touch with our conscious mind, our intellectual mind, what we call the left brain, right, and the limitations as a human being. So oftentimes we spend our whole lives trying to form a relationship with our higher selves, with that part of ourselves that is immortal, that is eternal, and many of us never do reach that communion, that relationship with the higher self, and that's why death and being alone or being by ourselves can seem so scary. Because frankly, I don't want to freak you out, out. But when the body does die, the soul does leave it and does have communion with its higher self, of course. But that which was us, you know, our individual human identity does evaporate unless you leave history behind before you go. There is a loss at death, and that is the loss of the body, the brain, and obviously the breathing processes, the heartbeat, and you become spirit again. So, you know, there is definitely what I would call an experience that we all must overcome to plug into that higher part of ourself, the eternal soul, the immortal part of ourself, to overcome that fear of death and that fear of separation from the body when it all will finally come. I also do discover, you know, that even though it is hard for me to believe that one day I will be out of this body and I won't be breathing and I won't have a heartbeat or a brain, you know, which a lot of times you think, well, how am I supposed to exist without my brain, my lungs, and my heartbeat? But the spirit obviously doesn't have vital organs as we know it. But still, you know, you get to a point in your thinking that, you know, your head starts to hurt when you start thinking about this. That you're like, oh my God, you know, how does this work and how does that work? You know, obviously, we are really... We have descended into an illusory state, a facade, where a veil was necessary in order for this type of life condition to exist. A very, very thick veil, you know, that would prevent the knowledge, the power, and the energy that truly exists beyond this realm, to actually assist us to supplement and reinforce our feeling of immortality and eternal existence. See, a lot of us, in fact, you know, with some of these fundamental religions that would make your soul something that would not be of grace or of spirit or of happiness or of energy or of power, but some of these religions, you know, lead people to think that if they don't do certain things in life, that they're going to be damned eternally instead of having eternal bliss and grace. Their immortality factor will be one of an extremely negative existence, which to me is very frightening and very scary and something I really don't like at all as far as the way that is explained. I prefer to take life as a vacation, and I prefer to take the existence in the human body as something that is supposed to be fun, as an education process, an evolution process, an awareness process, and frankly, when death comes, the vacation is over, and it's time to go back to work into the spirit, which is really where we truly live. This place is like stopping into a department store and shopping for several years in your life cycle for whatever material things you think you might need, as far as a lesson eventually learning to let go and overcome those things you think you need. And astrology, you know, plays the role of allowing us to come into this dimension with a particular set of defined uniqueness factors and karmic implications. And also, astrology is a system that is set up in this dimension that allows us to understand karma, metaphysics, the relationship between the soul, the body, and the higher self, and actually also designs and helps us allow specific experiences that we must learn depending on what karma we must embrace. So that's the role astrology has. Well, without further ado, let's turn to Silver Birch, and I'll do the best I can because I personally am channeling to read this channel information from the book Light from Silver Birch, which is one of my favorite book. And I'm quoting from the chapter number 5, What is Death? Okay. Death is the sloughing off of the physical body as the spirit gradually emerges. There's nothing to fear in death. Death is the great liberator. Death brings freedom. You rejoice when babies come into your world. There are many who cry in our world when babies are about to be born in your world. Similarly, there is weeping when people die in your world, but there is rejoicing in ours. Death means that the life has served its purpose, or should have done, and the individual is ready to enjoy all the tremendous richness and beauty that the spirit life has to offer. You have the spirit, which is the divine essence that enables you to live. You have a physical body that exists because it is animated by the spirit. When the spirit finally withdraws, I stress finally because temporarily it does so when you sleep, but returns when you wake. So in effect, death takes place every night when we do sleep. It's a very similar process. That's my footnote. Death comes to the physical body because the animation is finally gone. Those who have clairvoyance will see that the parting is finally accomplished when the cord connecting the spirit body to the physical one, after being extended as the spirit body gradually moves away, is cut. When that severance takes place, death occurs. There's nothing and nobody in your world who can, by any means, enable the physical body to live again. Okay, a question that was asked Silver Birch. A problem has arisen because of new techniques of removing organs. Now doctors wait for people to die to take a heart or kidneys. The question is the person dead? Am I at liberty to take the organs? Silver Birch responded, I know about transplants, and I am aware that the motive is often a very good one, but I must say that I am opposed to transplanting any part of the human body to other people. Heavy, huh? Another question. Some people believe it is necessary to leave the body in a state of peace for a given amount of time. This is because of the present-day tendency to whisk people into laboratories and open them up for experimental purposes. Do you think this is in any way harmful to the soul or the spirit? Silver Birch responded, It depends on whether the individual has any knowledge of spiritual matters. If there is ignorance, there can be temporary harm to the soul. Even when the cord connecting the physical and spirit bodies is cut, there is still a certain amount of interplay due to the long association of the two forms of being between the body and the spirit. Now, isn't that heavy? My footnote here is that really, until the body turns cold and becomes hard, there really is an association that remains between the body and the spirit. So all these autopsies and experiments that are being done, actually, I believe the pain can still be felt. That's something I've often thought about, too. Silver Birch continues, generally, isn't this great? I love this stuff. Generally, it is considered advisable where there is complete ignorance of spiritual truths for an interval of 3 days to lapse before there is either burial or cremation. Now, isn't that heavy? I believe a lot of religions, including the Jewish religion, do allow for that 3-day period to occur before any burial or cremation or whatever occurs. So that's pretty interesting. Something you might want to add to your will, right? What happens after then is unimportant. If people wish to give their bodies to help knowledge for purposes which can be of service to others, that is a matter for them to decide. You know, this is a heavy issue, my footnote again, because a lot of people are organ donors. And you know, when you are an organ donor and your body has just died, then they obviously are not going to wait 3 days. They're going to go right in there and take your vitals out. You know, and, you know, this spiritually really does not align with what Silver Birch says is proper for the spiritual growth after death. Okay? Something to consider. Not that organ donating is bad, but this is just an opinion of Silver Birch. And mine, too. He continues, If people wish to give their bodies to help knowledge for purposes which can be of service to others, that is a matter for them to decide after the 3 days. But let me also say this, there is a time to be born, and there is a time to die. If that time to die is reached, then transplants will not succeed in maintaining you in your world. Okay? Now here's another question. But there is a problem of people on a plane which crashes and they die instantly. What is the effect on them? Exactly the same as I have said. Those who have knowledge of spiritual realities will not be affected. Those who have not will be affected because of the shock. But in the process of time, awareness and realization will come. An accidental death predisposes one to accept reincarnation. Silverbird says, I am not happy about the use of the word accident because I know only of cause and effect in operation. Whatever you regard as accidental can be due only to the operation of the law of cause and effect. As to the question of reincarnation, that is a more complex matter. Okay? Here's another question. I have been watching on TV The Making of Mankind. It set me thinking about the origin of the human soul. In the very early beginnings, does the human soul emerge from a group of an animal species? No, said Silver Birch. Does that mean the animal kingdom is separated from us? No. How does the human soul first emerge? It does not emerge at all. It has no beginnings. I always thought that the human soul has gradually evolved. No, said Silver Birch. The body has evolved. The soul is part of the great spirit, which always was and always will be. The soul has always been. It is individuated when it becomes incarnated and the human frame. The soul has no beginning and no end. It says in your Bible, before Abraham was I am. The spirit has always existed. The spirit was not created out of nothing. Spirit is life. Life is universal. Souls, like spirits, do not have beginnings and ends. Spirit individuates when it incarnates into human form, but as spirit or soul, it has always existed. I would like to know about the eternity of the soul. One speaks of old and younger souls. Is the soul always so, or is it created? From where do we come, and are all souls reincarnated ones, or are there some new ones from the Great Spirit? Here's a question I've always had. Silverbird says, souls are not created. They have always existed. I quoted your Bible in the words of the Nazarene, before Abraham was I am. As spirit, you have always existed. Spirit did not have to be created. There never was any stage when nothing became something. Spirit, the dynamic, the essence, the vitality, that is life, has always existed. Spirit is the energy out of which every manifestation of life is formed, whether it be a plant, a bird, a tree, an animal, a human, an insect. Spirit is the mainspring of existence. When a child is conceived, it is not a new soul or a new spirit. It is part of the eternal spirit that has always been in existence. It becomes individualized, and that individuality functions for a short time. But the soul can have many facets. Some of these facets can reincarnate in your world and bring added luster to the diamond of the soul. There are old and young souls. You do not manufacture new souls by conception. You provide them with a physical body to express themselves. When birth is to be achieved and a physical body prepared for its existence, spirit becomes individuated and incarnates into your world. There's nothing new in the spirit. It takes individual form. It is becoming a person. When he or she is developed and leaves your world, it is a facet of a larger diamond to which it adds its contribution. If there is a time for everyone to be born, equally there is a time for them to die. What happens when there is a cesarean operation? Somebody steps in and alters the time of birth. It alters only the time of entry into your world. It does not alter the time when the spirit has started at the moment of conception to begin to express itself. There is also the free will, where an individual can decide to end his physical life, but then automatically he or she is confronted with the law of retribution. Question to Silverbirch again, when a child is to be born, it often happens that the doctors accelerate the birth with artificial means. A baby is born earlier than it is due. Does this have any influence astrologically? The things that worry you. The only vital fact about entry into your world is when life first begins to show itself. That is when conception takes place, not when a baby is born. With conception, earth life begins. Without conception, there is no earthly life. The Pope in Brazil complained about the poorness of the people and stressed at the same time that family planning should never be allowed. How does this make sense? The Pope is a very good man, but he is not the repository of all the knowledge that exists in the universe. Family planning will continue in your world because it is your responsibility. But if a child is to be born, it will be born despite all the family planning. Okay? And to continue, so a question was asked, I know some people who genuinely do not wish to survive death. What would you say to them? I know some people who genuinely do not wish to be born in your world. They can do nothing about it. You cannot opt out of the natural law. It will operate irrespective of what you think about it. You see in the unfolding processes of nature how this panorama presents itself unceasingly, irrespective of man's desires, wishes, or even objections. Are we then forced to come into this world if we do not wish to do so? I always thought this was our choice. This is not always the case, says Silverbirch. There is a choice in our world as there is a choice in yours. When the soul knows it has to do, it will incarnate into your world. There are some who have no desire to do so, but they come because they have work to do, or they have a karmic condition to fulfill. Could it ever be true? It is sometimes planned that a person will commit suicide. No, the planning is done by the soul before it incarnates. Are there no lessons one can learn by committing suicide? No, the Great Spirit gives life. It is not your responsibility to shorten it. When a person passes, does he know he has died? Not all. The majority do, but it takes some time for a complete awareness to be released. Do spirit people not help? Yes, we always help, even if the one who is being transferred from your world may be unaware of the aid he is receiving. All is known by the powers that be. There's never a hierarchy of evolved beings, some of whom have never incarnated in your world. They are charged with fulfilling the divine plan. It's an overall one and encompasses everything and everybody. There's nothing that can be outside the scope of universal natural law. When people die, relatives and loved ones meet them and help them over. Does it mean they are all at the same level? No, said Silver Birch, because those who love you will, in most cases, have evolved spiritually since their passing. They will come down, as it were, so as to be able to communicate at the stage you are when you reach our world. You must try to realize that spiritual growth is always toward maturity. There's no equality with physical age. Now I come back to the question about what stage in our world is awareness attained. This is difficult because awareness is a growing condition, not fixed or finite. Awareness has infinite possibilities. You cannot reach the end of it. As you increase it, you realize there is more to be attained. It is an eternal process at work. Awareness is a gradual realization. It is not a sudden transformation from ignorance to knowledge. It is graduated and slowly comes as the soul is ready to reach higher stages. Do not confuse physical age with spiritual maturity. It is not the number of years that matters, but the growth, the development, and unfoldment of the soul that is temporarily manifested through the body. It is not the plan of the Great Spirit to increase the number of physical years that your body should exist in your world. What should happen is that when the spirit is ready, the body will die. Just as the apple drops from the tree when it is ripe, so forget the physical years. They do not matter. The whole object and essence of earthly life is to enable the spirit to have the kind of exercise, education, and experience that fit it to begin its life in our world. If the spirit does not have the experience to equip for our world, then it is like a child who has gone to school but has not learnt the lessons and is not ready for the adult life that follows. I am very glad to welcome you. Speaking to a widow, Silver Birch, this widow says her husband had labored long in the spiritual field. The guide gave this encouragement. I am very glad to welcome you and to reassure you of fundamental truths which have provided a help in your hour of difficulty and trial. It is not easy for people in your world, even when they have knowledge that life is continuous after physical death, to adjust themselves when those who are closest to them are removed to another dimension of the universe. It would be foolish to minimize the fact that inevitably there is sorrow when this physical separation takes place, but it is only a physical separation and not a spiritual one. Death is inevitable for everyone in your world. There comes a time when you have to say farewell to Earth, for it has no more to offer you, and the soul is ready for the adventures that are an essential part of its evolution toward perfection. How you comport yourself when the trial comes is a question you have to decide. I know it's not easy. Death cannot separate those whom love has joined. Love, like life, is undying, and love, like life, is a mighty force that can work its will as conditions make it possible. Of course, there are times in the silence when tears are shed, but hold your head high and know that the power of the Spirit will never desert you. Help will always be forthcoming. Do not worry about anything. Worry blocks the channels by which help can come. You may not always realize it, but you are very fortunate because when you plumb the depths of sorrow, you are ready to receive knowledge. It was not easy to come out of the depths, but the way was shown. Now you are completely certain that the only one you love is as close to you as it is possible for any human being to be. I always wish that people in your world, especially those who have this knowledge, could become aware of what is around and about them, if only they could see the ones they love who are close to them, shielding them, guarding them, guiding them, ensuring that no real harm will ever befall them. If you could ever realize the extent of this radiance, you would never have any doubts or fears as to what the morrow will bring. So you should, as I always tell my friends, greet each new day as the herald of wonderful spiritual adventures. Your life has been transformed by the evidence you've received. I know, because I've seen it, that you labor to help others as you were helped. Do not bother about what others say. That does not matter. What matters is the way you conduct your life. Do the best you can and serve wherever you can. Your man is freed from the thraldom of the flesh. He will never again suffer the aches and disabilities that proved such a nuisance to him in the last days of his earthly existence. He will make you aware of his continued presence in what he still regards as home. So keep a stout heart, hold your head high, and continue to be an exemplar of how to behave when death removes the one who is closest to you. The separation is physical, not spiritual. There is nothing in the world or mine that can part those whom love has united. Love like life is stronger than death. Love like life is of the spirit, and the spirit cannot be destroyed. And there, for some reason, I did that topic on death today. Thanks to Silver Birch and the Psychic Press from London. That book was Light from Silver Birch, and it is awesome in its ability to transmit tremendous knowledge. A heavy topic that one I feel needs to be discussed at times, for sure, because we all have to face up to it. Stand by to KFOX 93.5 FM for more Astrology Hour and live on-the-air calls. Whoa. I had to take a breather there. I got so high reading the Silver Birch philosophies that I felt like I was going to go into the next dimension. Something I think we need to hear all the time. I'm Farley, KFOX, Redondo Beach, 93.5. Thank you for listening.